Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you for sharing part of your day with me. June saw the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising, and New York City celebrated Pride Month by hosting World Pride. But long after the Love Wins billboards come down and the rainbow flags are fading from windows, artists and activists in the LGBTQ plus community will continue to fight for the equal rights and acceptance that are still not afforded to many members of the community. So if in June we reflected on the past, in July we're looking forward. An exhibit at the Brooklyn Museum is doing just that. It's titled Nobody Promised You Tomorrow, Art 50 Years After Stonewall. The exhibit features posters and poems, sculptures, videos, paintings, songs, all created by artists born after 1969, and many from the New York City area. Many of the works celebrate and some rethink the legacy of Stonewall, but many more look at what still needs to be achieved, envisioning a future in which all people are safe to truly be who they are. The exhibit is on view at the Brooklyn Museum until December 8th. I'm here to tell us a little bit more about it are two of the curators who collaborated on this exhibit, Associate Curator at the Elizabeth A. Sackler Center for Feminist Art, Carmen Ermo. Hi, Carmen.
Hi.
And Teen Programs Manager, Lindsay Harris. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in. So the title of the show is taken from a well-known activist, Marsha P. Johnson. Nobody promised you tomorrow. Why did you choose that quote?
Yeah, that's a great question. For us, I think it was important to both have a literal, calling into question of who we're centering, Marsha P. Johnson, a Black trans activist central to the Stonewall Uprising, but whose stories are not often told, and who many of the artists are really calling into question within the artworks. And so these words, nobody promise you tomorrow, was exciting for us to literally call her into the space and honor her in that way, and then also point to this really precarity that for a lot of LGBTQ communities, right, we look to the future but also are really just living in today.
And I think it echoes with a lot of the work in the show to say that tomorrow is not guaranteed. You know, we're living in precarious times globally, even mm-hmm. just the structure of the planet itself, and it can really add a lot of urgency to think about, you know, we're celebrating today the 50th, but what about tomorrow? How much work is there to be done? And I think a lot of the artists in the show point us towards that question.
As you enter the exhibit, there's on the wall a note on language, which explains the LGBTQ, what it means, and some other terminology. What went into the discussions of putting that up?
Yeah, we're really intentional about the language that we use, and I think there's a lot of exhibitions out there that are, you know, similarly thinking about how do you talk about historical moment and contemporary moment when literally the words that we're using to define folks of the past would not claim. And so for us, being in a museum that's welcoming people of all ages, abilities, languages, you know.
All people.
All people, right?
All people.
Literally all people. You know, it was important to kind of provide information to contextualize the choices that we're using, LGBTQ plus, as well as queer and trans, and what that means for folks today, as well as what that, you know, might have meant for other folks in the past.
Obviously, it's important to include a diverse section of artists from gender identities, race, ethnicities, but that extends to mediums, too. There's a lot. There's so many different kinds of medium, a diversity of medium in the exhibit. Why was that important?
I think we really wanted to showcase, you know, this is a show that's born out of 2019. It is based in this 50th anniversary moment. Most of the works were made in the past 8-10 years, and really most of the show, the works were made in the past 3 years, if not two, and that shows too, like, the current moment that we're living in, where we see artists who are not afraid to cross medium boundaries, who are not afraid to mix hierarchical questions of using painting to honor trans women, for example, like David Antonio Cruz's work, a traditional medium. And then, like you're saying, we have music videos, zines. There's a robust performance activation in a lot of the works of the artists on view. And so I think it just speaks to the ways that this current generation of artists is, they really are, you know, experimenting with with a lot of different modes of conveying their message and conveying their vision for us.
My guests are Carmen Ermo and Lindsay Harris. They're two of the curators for the Nobody Promised You Tomorrow, Art 50 Years After Stonewall, which is currently at the Brooklyn Museum. Can you think of one piece in the show which you think really celebrates Stonewall and then one that really challenges it, the legacy and the stories around it?
That's a great question.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Haven't had that one yet. Yeah. Maybe we should start with celebrating.
Celebratory. Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe the whole show is essentially a form of celebration. I mean, I think, Allison, you point so well to the diversity of approaches. And even when you just walk into the gallery, mm-hmm. immediately you see, like, banners suspended in the air, a glowing light box installation, paintings, posters, pins. It's really kind of a chorus of embrace of this topic and this looking backwards.
It has a lot of texture to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think there are beautiful small intimate collages in the show actually by Tuesday Smiley, mm-hmm. Which I think play with scale a lot, and this idea of celebrating something so momentous and earth-moving as the uprising in a collage that you could probably hold in one hand, an image of Marsha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera at the 1973 Christopher Street Liberation Day Parade, which would later become the Pride Parade. And what Tuesday Smiley has done is create almost like a gold backdrop mm-hmm. for these two activists caught in a moment of protest. I think Marsha's actually, or Sylvia's holding a grocery bag. It's such an amazingly mundane detail, mm-hmm. And it sort of just shines this small sort of tender light on this this incredible history that that Tuesday, as an artist, she's kind of adorning this history, which is beautiful to behold.
Yeah, there's another big banner of hers I wanted to ask you about, Hudson River Jordan.
Yeah.
What's that about?
That was one of those exciting moments where we had been looking at Tuesday Smiley's collages, a different banner work, and she was at work in her studio and said, you know, this show really helped her spark the completion of the Hudson River Jordan piece, which is a reference to how Marsha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera promised each other that they would cross the River Jordan together and that would be the Hudson. And so it uses tarps, it uses packing blankets mm-hmm. to create an abstract work, but that's also very specifically about the precarity of the homeless encampments that Sylvia Rivera was living in 1992, in the 90s, on the Christopher Street piers, and looking at that very kind of, you know, intense reality of folks who are so marginalized that they can't even have homes. But at the same time, there's a bit of glit and glamour to it, too, because there are decommissioned Felix Gonzalez Torres beads and a gorgeously spray-painted shock of pink lace. So it's really blending, I think, some of the questions of the show.
All right, I gave you enough time to think of a challenge.
Yeah, maybe for the challenge, talk about L.J. Roberts storming at Stonewall. And this is a large-scale light box installation. It's one of three commissions that we have for the exhibition, so we're really, really excited. LJ, in, you know, their practice and their studio, they've been doing a lot of work around Stormy DeLarvre, who was a biracial, a black drag king who was very much present during the Stonewall Uprising and an activist in New York since then. And so this lightbox installation is kind of an homage to Stormy, but also very critical of the way that her life was talked about in specifically the New York Times. And so LJ is kind of pulled out this correction in 2016. That the New York Times, you know, was writing this article about the monument at Stonewall and kind of eradicated the presence of lesbians or anyone who was not cis white men. And so they issued, you know, somewhat of this passive aggressive correction that then LJ is kind of using as inspiration to cut out and piece together this large 14 light box monument.
I'm glad you said that. When my friend and I went to see it last night, had a discussion about who gets to write history
mm-hmm.
and how does that go down, and then when do you get to challenge it, and in what form do you get to challenge mm-hmm. it, and how art is such a great forum for it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's, you know, whether it's LJ in that piece or so many of the artists are really finding that balance between that celebration, that challenging, that correction, that insertion of themselves mm-hmm. and the other folks that they're calling into being within their work. So it's been really exciting to think about.
We're talking about Nobody Promised You Tomorrow, Art 50 Years After Stonewall. It's at the Brooklyn Museum. My guests are Carmen Ermo and Lindsay Harris, two of the curators who worked on this project. Tourmaline, this video. Salacia, am I saying it right?
Salacia.
Salacia. So tell people about Salacia.
This is another one of the commissions that we were able to actually partner with the High Line on. Mm-hmm. And it was a piece that I know Tourmaline, a lot of us know her, not just for her incredible film work, but also as a researcher and an advocate for undersung histories. And so when we were talking to the artist about, you know, what might we include? Mm-hmm. Of course, we wanted Happy Birthday, Marsha, her incredible collaboration with Sasha Wartzel that has been seen. But it was also this incredible opportunity for Tourmaline to debut Salacia, a project shot on film that explores the life of Mary Jones, who lived in the 1830s in New York, a Black trans woman who was criminalized for her sex work. And the film is essentially a collage. You know, we see shots of the Hudson River appears in many of the works of the exhibition. We see images and moments created by Tourmaline to reconstruct what Mary Jones's daily life might have looked like, imagining her living in Seneca Village, the Black landowning community that was later eradicated to create Central Park through eminent domain. So the story is about Mary Jones as a person. It's about her incarceration. It's about this poetic imagining of her using and marshaling magic, actually, in her ancestry to liberate herself from this imprisonment. But then it's also about deeper narratives of migration, of representation, of loss, and we're just thrilled to have it on view. You know, it's interesting to note, it's a popular show. There's always lots of people in the galleries, and I love when I see children, and I always see kids on that bench with the headphones on, watching that film, and it's really a poetic and just brilliant moment.
Now, is this a weird piece of trivia? Was it executive produced by Keanu Reeves?
It sure was. Yes. Great trivia. Excellent trivia.
Yeah. Makes me like him even more.
Exactly, right. And this was interesting for us because, you know, we had a lot of conversations about this idea of the tomorrow, the uprising today. You know, where are we amidst all that? And so a work like Salacia helps us look kind of past, saying that we're not doing a show that's, you know, 1969 happened and now we're here. Mm-hmm. We really wanted to showcase artists who were thinking across history, across narratives, to say, you know, the fight of Stonewall was a fight that Mary Jones was experiencing, is different than today, but it's also the same, and kind of looking to those connections and to seeing how artists can point us to make those allusions across history.
Yeah, and also that as queer and trans people, it's like we've been here forever, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that when we talk about Stonewall, right, that as Carmen was saying, that resistance has happened forever, right? And this is just one moment that has sparked a lot of the modern movement that many people know about. But as LGBTQ communities, you know, we've been thriving and will continue to thrive, and that, you know, fight has looked different over time, but it's still here.
And to that point about thriving, not all pieces are fraught. They're the poppy juice posters. Am I saying it right? God, I just feel so old when I said that.
You got it.
Tell me about what they are for people who don't know what it is. It's art collective is, and then why that was important to have as a part of the show.
Yeah, so Poppy Juice is a collective that is for about 6 years, right? They've been organizing parties mostly and cultural events celebrating queer and trans people of color and the people who love them. And so they've grown in size over the 6 years, but they're very much a staple in terms of thinking about queer and trans nightlife in Brooklyn especially. And so for us, we're really excited to include the illustrations of Mohamed Fayez, as well as the posters of Poppy Juice parties. And so the works that we have are both six posters representing some of those parties over the last 6 years, and then a large illustration that was printed on vinyl called Armory of Mohamed Fayez. And it really just shows some of the, like, you know, beautiful, like, lushness of what it means to, like, be in community with other, like, you know, LGBTQ, young people loving up on each other, smoking, you know, like, all the things that, you know, taking selfies, all the things that we do.
There's something called Our House Reading Room. How did the idea for including this in the space come about? It's an education and resource space.
Well, I think one of the impetuses was the reality that this exhibition really can't contain all the histories and possibilities that exist in Stonewall, that exists in daily life today. And so it was really a way to start to think about, okay, who might not be represented on the wall? What story might we want to tell in more depth? And it was also an opportunity for us to kind of work more deeply within the education department.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm in education. I manage our LGBTQ teen programs. And so one of the benefits of us collaborating, five of us across different departments, is really bringing in our skill set, our experience. And so it was an opportunity for us to literally bring in some of the young people that we work with in our teen programs. Levi Narine, who's an alumni of our programs, to help curate the space, organize what books were going to be in the space that came from recommendations from artists, from community organizers, from staff, and then our young people to also play a part in writing reviews. And, you know, and so for that both to be behind the scenes, something that's representing some of the intergenerational dialogue that's been happening and continues to happen within LGBTQ communities, but then also a space for people to just come and hang out, like read, learn a little bit more.
Yeah, it's comfortable.
Yeah, you know? Chill, take mm-hmm. a little break, right? Museums don't need to be this really stuffy space, and they shouldn't be, and they're really, that was some of what we were envisioning for that, for our house.
This is the hard question. When you tell friends you have to come see this, what's one piece you makes you want to make sure people spend an extra minute in front of? We won't ask you for your favorite, but one you think just take a little extra time with.
Yeah, favorites are impossible.
Yeah.
There actually is an incredible collaborative work by Morgan Vasekis, Annabeth Bees, T.M. Davey, Don Christian Jones, Michi Osato, and Una Osato. It's called the Lavender Hill Historical Society, and it definitely draws you in. There's dozens of framed objects on the wall, a giant vitrine stuffed with photography, and it's honoring the Lavender Hill Commune outside of Ithaca, a unique space that for decades was a place where lesbian women, gay men, were lived in kind of this multi-gender living situation. You know, post-Stonewall, there's a lot of kind of separatist moments, mm-hmm. But this Lavender Hill community was really unique in that they lived together, raised families together, and this younger group of artists is looking to this collective from their collective perspective, and it's just a work with incredible detail that you could really spend hours in because there's also a three-hour interview. You can sit on a little pillow pile and enjoy this intergenerational moment between these times.
Are you agreeing with her? That's the one to spend extra time in front of?
Yeah, definitely.
My guests have been Carmen Ermo and Lindsay Harris. We've been talking about Nobody Promised You Tomorrow, Art 50 Years After Stonewall, currently at the Brooklyn Museum. Thanks for coming to the studio.
Thank you so much.
So much for having us.
Coming up next, a deep dive into an old New York tale of a ghost ship, a killer, and the birth of a gangster with author Richard Cohen, author of The Last Pirate of New York. Stay with us. More after the break.